is going under when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait, welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, the second half of the Monday Financial Power Block here on WWPR, starting at 4:05 with Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, talking all types of markets and getting your trading information there. Then we follow it up at 5:05 with the Henry Rain Show, your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, more. And, well, what more happened this week? Well, Facebook and J.P. Morgan met with skeptical global central bank officials today, and we'll tell you about it. Cryptocurrency exchange OKEX Korea unit is delisting all five privacy coins. You know, the ones Monero, Dash, Zcash, and Horizon, and Super Bitcoin? Anyway.
Super Bitcoin?
Yes. It's, yeah. I love that comic, but I didn't know it was could be exchanged. The computing power dedicated to mining Bitcoin has hit yet another new high, and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange looks to double the monthly open position limits to its Bitcoin futures contract. So all you people that want to bet 10,000 Bitcoin at a time, good news for you all. And helping us out today, or helping me out today, I said, because it's just us in the studio, is... Well, the aforementioned Talking Markets creator, co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, and the voice you hear primarily from 4:05 p.m. is, of course, the Andrew, the Andy, and
can
artist formerly known...
Can you pass me my Michelob Light? Can you just pass me the Michelob Light?
No, I didn't. And the artist formerly known as Goldbug One.
It's one of those days. It's one of those days, Henry.
Well, and...
But you know what? I saw you could buy Kraken for $8,000 and sell it $12,000. I mean, what was that? Is that in the ring?
Kraken?
Yeah, it's in right here. I was just reading an article.
Well, hang on.
Well, you're on Kraken, aren't you?
It's only us here, but we actually are bringing in remotely some more help.
As long as he's not the tax collector.
Well, that, of course, is the... Pretty getting to be pretty regular around here, at least once a month. Josh Sands is a crypto tax specialist. You can find out more about his crypto tax specialism at CryptoTaxMan.us. He's on Facebook at CryptoTaxMan, but if you go to Twitter or you go to Instagram, it's Crypto_Tax.
Or if you go to Sarasota Jungle Gardens.
He's there?
Yeah,
he was sitting there. I took the kids. I had the kids, grandkids and that, and we were going to Jungle Gardens. And I passed this guy, and I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, I hear, hey. And we realized who we were.
Well, that's good. And then you realized who each other was.
That's right. Yeah, that's and then we realized who each other was. Yeah. So, congratulations, Josh.
Thank you.
Going
beautiful wife, and he has a beautiful wife, and they're expecting soon. I hope it's okay to say on the radio, but...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean...
Right around the corner. She's ready.
Right around the corner.
She probably knows.
Yeah, she knows. Yeah.
So, Josh, let's just take a quick second. You know, you've come on here now every month for a few months. You're talking about getting people prepared for crypto tax capital gains or losses or anything else that may be relevant for their taxes. Of course, you're also financial advice is part of your background. But I was just thinking, and actually I was thinking quite selfishly too, is that a good course of action, because you know you have these tiers where people that do 500 trades in a year or more than 500 trades in a year, and they come in and you got software to go through all that. If you're an active trader, it might be better to come see you before the end of the tax year to get an idea of what you know, what to get prepared for. I've been thinking that because I look back at some of my trades and like, oh, I did that, didn't I?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I have people I'm working on 2019 with right now because they want to know where they stand and if there's any opportunities to, I guess, offset some gains.
Now, I got a question for you, Josh, and maybe you've answered this before, because since it's not considered the wash rule, what's it, the 30-day?
Yeah, wash rule.
Yeah, the wash rule. That doesn't apply to crypto, so if you take a loss, you just claim it as a loss, and then again, it's claimed as a gain. Is that correct with cryptos?
Yes and no. They haven't come out to say that it applies to crypto yet, but we're using kind of best judgment to somewhat implement that rule. We say at least wait, 7 to 10 days before you get back into the position, because the IRS does have something kind of in their back pocket where they can come back and say you only sold that position for a tax loss, and that's the one thing that you can't do is just do it for a loss.
So you're talking about the context of the end of the year.
I bought Monero, and it goes down. I sell Monero, and then I buy it back tomorrow. I could write that off as a loss, and I'm sitting in my Monero cheaper.
Yeah, and there's what's called the economic substance doctrine. That's kind of that rule that they have in their back pocket, saying that regardless of the asset, you can't just sell that.
Damn it!
Just for tax purposes, without any. I guess somewhat market exposure attached to that. So you at least want to wait about 7 to 10 days and then try to get back into that position. Okay. And again, they haven't applied this to crypto yet.
I'm totally screwed.
That bus left the station on me.
I'm totally screwed.
We'll talk more about that in the course of the show here with Josh. I know one thing I need to get out of the way is we actually have another Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup scheduled. It's a few weeks away. It's October 26th. Same place as the last couple.
What? October 26th?
Saturday, October 26th.
That's Fantasy Fest week.
Well, you're not going to be there, I guess. I mean, at the Bitcoin meetup. You'll be body painting down.
I'll be body painting in Duval Street.
Ah.
Allegedly.
We'll carry on. We'll do our own body painting at the library.
Actually, I think it'll be at Biketoberfest. That's where I'll be.
Where's that?
In Daytona.
All right.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry about me, though.
No, I won't. Anyway, October 26th, 1 p.m. at the Manatee County, South County Library, the big meeting room there. We will have another Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup. Couldn't get anything in September, and I couldn't even get anything earlier on a Saturday. I'm going to try Saturday this time. So we will keep you posted on that. Next week will be a rerun of this show, but I think Andy is going to try and launch a...
I'm trying to run the soundboard. I was looking at it today. I'm trying to focus on it. Okay.
Focus on what?
I was trying to watch how you did the soundboard and do my stuff at the same time.
We're going to have a crash course right after this show.
Okay.
And Josh, you probably never listened to the show that used to follow this show. It came in remotely, and they used to talk about the demons and the angels. Last week it wasn't on, so I don't think it's on this week. And we will we will show Andy how this station works.
How do you follow demons and angels?
Carefully.
Yeah. Wasn't she running for Democrat presidential or something?
The angel?
The one that is psychic or something.
I will say this. Any of the names of the angels or the demons that were on that radio show, I would have trouble pronouncing because they had lots of consonants in their names. three or four consonants strung together in a vowel here or there. But that's old news.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Facebook and JP Morgan met with skeptical global central bank officials on Monday to discuss the emergence of new cryptocurrencies designed to maintain a stable value. So I guess it wasn't just they were getting laser focused on concept here, not just the big picture. They were talking about stable coins. So anyway, not all, just Facebook's officer in charge of that, but representatives from J.P. Morgan also laid out their plans for so-called stable coins. Who's editorializing in this on CNBC, where I'm taking some of these quotes from? So-called stable coins at a conference in Basel, Switzerland, the Bank of International Settlements said in a statement. The BIS is an umbrella group of the world's largest central banks. They're actually, like, bigger than just central banks, because the Bank of International Settlements has oversight in all the derivatives, too. So, like, when the credit default swaps were flying out the window in the banking crisis and some of those other third or fourth string derivatives that they had sliced and diced mortgages to, and then all the other derivatives at one time, and I found this very hard to believe, just like the caller at the time, when this was back when I was in Tampa on the station all weekend. I had a guest on, and he was saying the total liabilities. Now, some of these are on either side of the equation, so it's you not every single one could wind up gone. But the total liabilities on the Bank of International Settlements page, where they list this data, was $700 trillion.
Even though that's derivatives.
That was everything. The derivatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still doesn't scare me.
Well, I'm glad it doesn't scare you, because it wasn't my intent to scare you. I want you to have be able to get to sleep at night. And besides, that was long ago. That was back in 2010 or something. And so nothing like that could happen now. But the sheer size of it. When people say they don't really even know how it all plays out as far as what, like, one of the reasons that they couldn't sort through some of the mortgage crisis is you had, like, a lump sum payment that was sliced out of one group of mortgage, and then you had, like, these interest payments, and then you had the actual principal that got paid back. And, you know, before you know it, you don't know who owes who what, except that nobody's getting paid.
Yeah.
But
well, you saw The Big Short, haven't you?
Well, no, I haven't actually seen it, because I was talking about it for years going into 2008 here, because I had all these alternative guests that actually had a different opinion than the people that were, you know, being mouthpieces on CNBC. But that's neither here nor there. It's just I got called on it by a caller up in Tampa. He's like, oh, that's impossible. And I didn't really know at that moment in time 10 years ago. And, you know, the guest says, well, go to the website right now. And so we did a break, and I went, and there it was.
What's the website?
Oh, just Google Bank of International. So they've changed the layout, though, because I have gone there recently, and they have it segmented out into a bunch of little things. They used to have a gross number, and now it's broken into different sectors, and you'd have a hard time putting it all together unless you really spent some time adding it all up. Anyway, I guess I digressed a little bit there about the Bank for International Settlements. The meeting was called by a working group set up by the Group of Seven countries to scrutinize stablecoins like Facebook's. The Benoit Coeur, a member of the European Central Bank's executive board, chaired the event. Quote, as a new technology, stablecoins are largely untested, especially on the scale required to run a global payment system. They give rise to a number of serious risks related to public policy priorities. The bar for regulatory approval will be high. Well, the Financial Times reported just Sunday that Facebook representatives were set to meet with officials from 26 central banks, including the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of England. The 26 banks were not confirmed at today's meeting, but one thinks probably a bunch of them were there. The digital currency, of course, that Facebook is developing is Libra, and it's controlled or directed by the consortium in Switzerland of the Libra Association. And, of course, we know it includes companies like Visa, Uber, Coinbase, at least it's supposed to. I don't know if they've ponied up their $10 million yet or not. Anyway, David Marcus, the executive leading Facebook's cryptocurrency initiative, defended the project, saying Libra wouldn't, and I quote, threaten the sovereignty of nation when it comes to money. We will continue to engage with central banks, regulators, and lawmakers to ensure we address their concerns through Libra's design and operations. And then he continued in tweets, which is how all important message information is transmitted these days. And this is the fourth of five tweets here. Libra will be backed one by one by a basket of strong currencies. This means that for any unit of Libra to exist, there must be an equivalent value in its reserve. So now that statement right there is contrary to their white paper, where they say it will also be backed by short-term securities in the currencies. 505, as such, there's no new money creation, which will strictly remain the province of sovereign nations. And that could be true, but it also is true that the individual administrators in these different locations are going to assign a value to Libra based on the basket of currencies, and it seems you got some wiggle room there when you assign the value. This is also related to the People's Bank of China recently said it was close to releasing its own virtual coin, more on that later. And Bank of England Governor Mark Carney has raised the idea of creating a reserve digital currency. We'll look at those ideas in more depth in just a second. But have you had any, Josh, have you had any additional thoughts on Libra since the last time we talked to you about it, or any thoughts on this idea of the resistance that seems to be gathering strength among central bankers?
I mean, I think that's expected. I don't think they're going to just kind of let it get into the market without any type of regulation in place, not only to protect the currencies, but to kind of adhere to some anti-money laundering issues. I wouldn't expect any different.
So you don't find it reassuring that Facebook says they're not out for the power of central bankers, that they don't want to usurp their authority on anything, and this is just really a harmless means of making payments?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little more to it than that.
Yeah. You know, in the past shows, when I first started talking about how one of the big corporations would come forth with their own cryptocurrency and why I thought it was Amazon, and I wonder if Amazon had done it just sort of camouflaged as like a glorified rewards program where you just put your $100 in and you get 110 Amazon bucks to spend in the Amazon ethos.
Ecosystem, yeah.
Yeah, ecosystem. If it might have slid through a little bit smoother than Facebook being the one to bring this forward.
I think most central banks are concerned about Facebook and their Libra coin. I think France wasn't the ones that said, no way, we're not having it.
Yes, and I think Germany's gotten on board. Well, basically,
of course, you know,
the group of seven countries
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, they're just printing money left and right, and they're like, we don't want you printing money.
And well, but we're only basing it on the money that you print.
Yeah. it's like getting a copy of everything.
The thing is, as I read some of this, I didn't want to go back and just read more to the audience, but it's pretty clear that I don't think that the Libra is based on blockchain. Do you, Josh? It seems like it's just a mechanism, like a ledger somewhere with Facebook, or not with Facebook. I should say it's at arm's length with the Libra Association or consortium. But it doesn't seem like it's an immutable ledger somewhere like Bitcoin.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it's Facebook's way of getting into another area to dominate.
Yeah. It's really nothing then.
Well,
they
have the breach in the ecosystem to dominate because.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what makes it so unnerving for most central banks, I think, is that you know, I don't know about the United States. People, I don't think people are giving up on a dollar here, but gosh, if you're in some other country outside of the United States, Canada, you know, the main Forex pairs,
but if it's not a blockchain, if it's just a mechanism, as it seems to be with Facebook, then you just stall Facebook, and then all these central banks come out with their digital currency.
Here's what happened in the 1800s. In the 1800s, they were trying to get people off of gold, using physical gold and silver. And so they started printing paper notes. And actually, China is actually the prelude to paper notes. They're the first ones to have it. It took years and years. And you know what they did at first? First, they backed the paper notes by gold. And then slowly, as people got more accustomed to it, so you get more accustomed to the Facebook coin, more people use it, you're using it, it becomes an accepted medium of exchange. And then you don't need to back it by anything.
I mean, and same thing, it's like they're already dominating. They have, what, 2.5 billion users worldwide? If they implemented this, it would implement pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And could be adopted pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. So I think that's the fear of the central banks, is they would have no control over the monetary.
Money. Facebook would obey anti-money laundering laws.
Oh, yeah, sure they would.
And
yeah.
Know your customer laws.
They're so good at sticking
yeah, that's one thing.
Privacy laws, I'm sure they do that too, yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be the Monero of...
Yeah. Well, before we leave the Bank of International Settlements for...
Imagine the money, though, that they get from, you know, everybody would want to advertise with them because they would know where you're spending your money. And that's direct marketing. And direct marketing is so much better than shotgun marketing.
Well, they already know what you're looking at, so it's just another step where you're spending your money on.
Well, they would know you bought Jiffy peanut butter.
All right, let me make this transition here.
Okay.
So we're talking about Facebook making the payments. We're talking about central banks doing their own digital currency for the payment system. Well, it turns out the boys and women at Bank of International Settlements have been doing a little exploring and looking at ideas themselves. A principal economist at the bank. Now, this is an unrelated article. This didn't come on CNBC with this other story. This is just as I was looking around for other news, and I was like, oh, here's some more news about the Bank of International Settlement. Considered to be the central bank of central banks, as we said, has suggested a new, quote, low-cost, end quote, compliance method for regulating blockchain-based financial markets. The method dubbed, again, quote, embedded supervision, end quote, is different from SupTech, that's a quote, too, that's supervisory technology, or RegTech. Have you ever heard these words? These are just brand new to me, too. Regulatory technology. Ralph Auer is a principal economist at the Monetary and Economic Department there at the BIS. And embedded supervision aims to use machine learning or artificial intelligence to monitor the financial industry more efficiently and thereby reducing the need for firms to actively collect, verify, and deliver data, according to Auer. In other words, just leave it to them and their AI to monitor what these central banks are doing, and you guys can take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
It also says, given the example, of course, we want an example, the principal economist said that, say, the Bank of Lithuania's blockchain-based sandbox, LB Chain, again, Lithuania Bank Chain, seeks to embed a regulatory infrastructure in its distributed ledger technology. This can help lower compliance costs for both market participants and supervisors. And this isn't Auer's first, A-U-E-R, and I'm not saying Auer, O-U-R, Auer's first research work in the crypto space. Early this year, he said that proof-of-work algorithm used by Bitcoin and some other cryptocurrencies need to be replaced. Proof-of-work can only achieve payment security if mining income is high, but the transaction market cannot generate an adequate level of income. Well, we will take that up in just a second. But, so in other words, Bank of Lithuania, that little central bank there, they got their blockchain going. They don't even have to watch it because the Bank of International Settlements will watch it for them. And they'll embed the algorithm for them right in there.
What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing will go wrong. So, but let's take up his other statement there. Unless Josh had anything he wanted to add to the embedded, what was it called? Embedded supervision?
Yeah,
embedded supervision. I remembered it for 10 seconds. Any thoughts on that?
That's kind of over my head.
I think that's the point.
You know, you thought the central banks had control, but then you realize there's a whole other layer. And isn't that guy they made fun of, the picture of the guy that heads the BIS?
Oh, I don't
know.
Isn't
that big guy they were making fun of?
Oh.
Looked like from Spider-Man.
The Kingpin.
The Kingpin.
That's what he retired to do.
Yeah.
He gave up that messy run-in with the gangs of New York.
Forget Spider-Man. I'm going to the Bank of International Settlement. That's where the easy money's at.
Yes. Like Willie.
Oh, a few thousand derivatives here, you know.
What was that? Willie Sutton, was that the bank robber?
Sutton.
Why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money is?
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump over the next one to get to the thing that said about how it just isn't profitable to do proof of work with Bitcoin because it costs too much to do those transactions, according to this bank of settlement guys who wants you to use his technology. The computing power dedicated to mining Bitcoin has hit yet another new high, suggesting that more than 600,000 powerful new machines may have come online in the last 3 months. Figures have jumped 60% as far as the hash rate since June 14. Bitcoin's mining difficulty is, of course, adjusted every 2 weeks to keep the time to produce a block at 10 minutes. But anyway, they just came forward or put into circulation 600,000 powerful new machines. Now, this are ASIC miners. They're made by Bitmain, Canon, InnoSilicon, and MicroBT, are priced between $1,500 to $2,500 each. So if it takes more than 500,000 of them that are in delivery, that means that's $1 billion of revenue, over $1 billion of revenue, that have gone out in a three-month period of time just for Bitcoin miners. Plus, the cost, energy, big-time cost. Well, maybe not so much. There's growing interest in Russia's eastern Siberia region, where the Bratsk hydropower station, built in the Cold War era, has utilized to power mining farms that are estimated to account for 10% of the total computing power in Bitcoin. We have similar situations in China, where there's those silly old rivers in the Himalayas. That the Dalai Lama, what would he want to do with that in Tibet? Well, they got a better use for them. They're mining Bitcoin. Major miner and manufacturers have already sold out of equipment that is due for shipment until the end of the year. So much for the BIS experts thought that there just isn't enough money in Bitcoin mining, and it's too expensive, because evidently it's not too expensive to need more mining hashing power.
Everybody hates the winner. Bitcoin is the Patriots. Is the New England Patriots of money. You're either a Bitcoin fan or you hate them, but Bitcoin's winning.
There you go.
I mean, literally, I don't see how you can stop, it's become it's become so well adapted. I mean, Josh, I mean, you have a client base, and of all your clients, how many, just percentage-wise, what do you think are owners of Bitcoin?
All of them. Or wait, just my crypto clients?
No, all your accounting clients together.
Well, I only do the accounting for
cryptos.
Yeah,
so he's 100%
on Bitcoin.
See, he's 100%. So he 100% of his client. And he's small. Imagine all the other accounts. Yeah, I'm up 100%. It's got to be,
And from the peak in 2017 for that tax year. Have you, how has the growth of your client base gone?
I haven't seen anybody getting out. There's only new people coming in. So
that's a good direction for it to go.
Even after, I guess, what we saw in 2018, there was a lot more people that still got into the market.
That brings me to that brings me back to my conspiracy theory, is there's not enough Bitcoin out there for all the Bitcoin that's traded on these exchanges.
Yes, I agree.
I think that.
But
some
I thought
of these
that we've already established
ghost,
that there's a whole lot of wash trading
Bitcoin
going on and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's the coin market cap volume, and
yes,
then there's that other group that does the real volume.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Which is quite a bit less. We're going to go to a break right now. And when we come back, there's a whole bunch of privacy issues, not just the fact that OKEX is getting rid of Monero and Dash, et cetera, but the United Kingdom, if you're there, they want to know what's going on in your hardware wallet, too. You're listening to
what?
The Henry Raines Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
Henry Raines Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Second half of Monday's WWPR Financial Power Block, following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. Then comes your roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news. Also, you can find it on demand. Just Google Henry Raines Show. It's on a number of different podcast platforms. And you also find it recently at Seeking Crypto's Facebook page, shortly after that comes. We have in the studio Andrew of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, a.k.a.
Hey, Henry, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good to see you here. Imagine meeting you here. And we also have on the line Josh Sands. He is the crypto tax specialist. Website, cryptotaxman.us. Facebook, just go to cryptotaxman. But on Twitter and Instagram, it's crypto_tax_man. Because I guess some pretenders are out there on Twitter and Instagram. You want to get the right one. Josh, before we get into some other stories, is there anything on your mind that you want to talk about? Business-wise or anything like that?
Just been waiting on the sidelines for some guidance from the IRS. I think it was, what, end of May that they said that they'd come out with something within 30 days.
So,
and still haven't seen anything. So, and all the while we have, like, other state representatives coming out with their own proposals to kind of add on to the token taxonomy proposals. Mostly, like, I think the most recent one was North Carolina state representative. He wants to introduce 1031s again for crypto. And then also the de minimis. Well, go ahead.
Okay. So the de minimis would be just you could be using your crypto to buy some things as long as it wasn't a significant amount and you wouldn't have to account for it on your taxes. What's a 1031?
What you typically see in the real estate world, where you're deferring taxes as long as you're buying like-kind assets.
Okay.
So you wouldn't be taxed from crypto to crypto. You know, if you're selling Bitcoin for Ether, it would be, you know, tax deferred.
Okay.
So wow, that would be a big boost.
Right. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen before this tax year is over, though.
No, definitely not.
Well, looking around the news, let's talk about privacy here for a second. And China and a couple different things. I have audio here from so-called experts that actually would be probably enlightening, but let me try and get through a bunch of this first and put it all together. So OKEX, Korea's cryptocurrency exchange, one of their cryptocurrency exchange, has delisted for Korea only, Monero, Dash, Zcash, and something called Horizon and Super Bitcoin. The services withdrawal service will stop on December 10th. OKEX Korea announced. The exchange said the decision has been taken as these coins violate the Financial Action Task Force travel rule. In June, we talked about this. The Financial Action Task Force had quite a few recommendations to prevent global money laundering of crypto and issued its final crypto guidelines retaining a travel rule, which requires exchange to collect and transfer customer information during transactions. This information includes originator's name, account number, and location information, as well as beneficiary's name and his account number. Now, the first path isn't too different for most people that are dealing with a regulated exchange, Coinbase, et cetera. They know who you are. But you can email your Bitcoin out of Coinbase, and all they know is an email address. With the Financial Action Task Force, they want to know where that Bitcoin lands, in what wallet address, and who it belongs to. So OKEX Korea said the privacy rate in a coin sort of prevent them from doing that, so they're just going to delist them. As I said, it only applies for the Korea unit. Well, we go on around the world to the United Kingdom, and their chief financial watchdog would require crypto developers, this is a proposal, to keep track of their software's users. In other words, the hardware manufacturer, the crypto hardware manufacturer, needs to keep track of what you're doing with their wallet. In order to meet new anti-money laundering requirements that are expected to come into force next year, coincidentally with the Financial Action Task Force recommendations, the Financial Conduct Authority, which is a United Kingdom authority, has proposed extending these measure regulations to entities that deal in digital assets. We require exchanges and token issuers to collect data, but the big difference is the companies that sell you the hardware wallet or the software for the hardware wallet or the software for a software wallet have to keep tabs on you, too. So, well, it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
And
ruin a good thing.
That's insanity.
All right. So the last one I want to wrap up into this whole discussion once we go to the audio is Jeremy Allaire. You know him. He's the CEO of Circle, the Goldman Sachs, and among other backers who's done that great job at Poloniex Exchange.
Yeah.
And
Poloniex.
But he's still in demand on CNBC and even the overseas CNBC for his opinions and expert. And he is always willing to come on TV to talk about being an expert. China's proposed digital currency could trigger global use of the yuan, according to CEO of American cryptocurrency financial services firm Circle. Last month, the People's Bank of China announced it's close to launching its own digital currency. It's going to have a two-tier system, with both the People's Bank of China and commercial banks would be legitimate users. And the U.S. dollar, of course, currently the world's reserve currency, about 58% of all foreign exchange reserves in the world are in U.S. dollars. According to the IMF, about 40% of the world's debt is denominated in dollars. Well, Mr. Cheng Chun is the deputy director of the People's Bank of China Payments Department, so the new digital currency will have similarities to Facebook. Does that mean they're going to know everything about your data and keep tabs on you? All right, so I've got a couple things here. Let's start with the clip from the Bank of London's head, Mr. Carney. It's not actually a clip of him. It's actually about the news of when he spoke out about how we shouldn't use the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. It's actually probably a little over a week old. We talked about it, but this is some background.
Thank you very much. Mark Carney, hope Sarah's sitting down because he is calling for the creation of a new virtual currency of the world on the U.S. dollar, which he says creates some of the problems that we have today.
So Mr. Carney is among the banks here that don't want Facebook to have too much power over the central bank's authorities. And while he's at it, He would like to make sure the U.S. has no authority over the central bank, even though more than half of everything
is
U.S.
dollars.
Goldman
Sachs alumnus. So.
Yeah, there you go.
I can explain more of that in a second. He also says the U.K. outlook, pardon me, hinges critically on Brexit. Sarah, he's pointing out that, for example, half of all international trade is priced in dollars, but the U.S. that's five times greater than the U.S. contribution to world output, along with two-thirds of world security priced in dollars. And he says the problem there is that U.S. interest rate policy, U.S. exchange rate policy becomes exported to other parts of the world. And he says that is not the optimal way to run things.
So I wonder if Mr. Carney had been alive after World War One and before World War Two, when the British pound was the dominant currency, would he have been quite as worried about that at the time? Well, others can ponder.
He acknowledges a long way off, but it's a pretty radical proposal from a guy who's...
Where did that come from, Steve? Is he trying to get kicked out of
Dalton Hall? No, but I think what he's dealing with, Sarah, is this idea of why are we having so many problems related to the U.S. being strong but the rest of the world being weak? And he says that's because so much of the world is priced in dollars, so the theory of flexible...
I'm not going to let this play this out because I have a much better example here in the studio. Now, for those of you that can't see, get a little closer to your radio. Maybe you can see this. But to my right, Andy here has lost a tremendous amount of weight. He is visibly a different person. I'm saying that. And on the other hand, I have not lost much weight at all. And actually,
is this hypothetical?
Well, this is factual in regards to the weight loss, and I'm saying that that is not fair. Just because he is eating less and working out more, it doesn't mean that I should not lose weight too. So I appreciate Mr. Carney's statements over at the Bank of England when everybody wants to use the stronger asset-backed bonds and debt instruments, and they want to hold their assets in the stronger economy. It's just not fair. It should be in the weaker economy's currency. I think the logic there is clear.
Yeah.
I have more to say, but we'll give Josh a chance. Or Andy. Anything you want to add, Josh?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear, too. I don't think there's really much to add to that.
I think it would fit right in with the Democratic debate.
All right, I'll let you go. Go ahead.
I think it fit right in with the Democratic debate. Look what they have and you don't, so we're going to take it from them and give it to them.
Well,
and
but
you're going to say the same thing.
Because they didn't get it fairly. Just like you're not losing weight fairly. No. See, I have a great ability of, and I'm saying this humbly, of cognitive dissonance. So I can hold two different opinions equally strong. So what in one compartment of me is the peacemaking diplomat. And the other part of me is the Genghis Khan hegemon.
Yes, when I tweet you.
You know, so if somebody has to be the empire, I'm talking with the latter voice now, and someone has to be the hegemon of the world, I want it to be us. And that, see, that's what a lot of people won't admit. We're just trying to be fair. No, we need to stack the deck in our favor because we can stack the deck in our favor, and we will continue to stack the deck in our favor so
because
that our people prosper.
Yeah,
and
then
it's like, I'm really going to. I believe.
We're seeing a transformation
all ethnicities
here.
And all.
Josh, we have a transformation.
All different sex. All people should be equal, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't go first.
No, wait, hold on. Not equal. They should have equal opportunity.
No, they should be treated equally, but I should be allowed to go first. What does allowing me to go first affect the other 300 million people that are all being treated equally?
Let's go back to your example. Me being over here, chick magnet.
You want me to talk to you about
being,
Andy,
and you haven't, you know, you still look good. All right,
I appreciate the lip service.
But you have the same opportunity to go to the gym that I do.
And I go to the gym.
You do?
Yes.
When?
Every day.
What time?
Well, let's see. Yesterday it was, that was a Sunday, okay. So that was 6 p.m. Sometimes I go all different times.
Things you might go to.
Yes, but I don't like to go at the busy time, which is usually when you're there.
Yeah. But how much effort do you put into it?
To get there, I just drive.
See, now,
what do you do?
I'm going straight ahead. I'm going to tell you. When I first started at the gym, I started on that damn treadmill. I hate the treadmill. And I started, and it would say, and I had this app, and it'd say, walk for 30 seconds. And you'd walk for 30 seconds. And then it would go, jog. And then you jog for 60 seconds. Oh, I couldn't do it. I'd be like, well, this is nuts. And after about 5 minutes, I was like, ugh. That was the worst day of my life. And all I was doing was walking for 30 seconds, jogging for 60, walking for 30, and jogging for 60 for 5 minutes. You know, but after a while, you just keep with it, keep with it, keep with it. And now I jog for 90 seconds.
Right.
You can do the same, Henry.
Well, now, since we're going to actually take it into reality, you have to remember, as you were here, that I was in a cast boot for
you
2 months.
Or so,
and I had torn the tendons, and I still can't do much more than walk.
Yeah, I know.
So,
that'll slow down.
Now, Josh, do you work out?
Oh, you see him. Works out. He's got the hot wife.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm jealous. So where do you work out at? You don't have to. You work out at a gym, or you work out at home?
Both. I usually run, actually not as much recently. But,
he's still young. He's got all the testosterone flowing. It's easy for a guy like that.
How often do you run? Let's get a typical Josh workout. What is it?
Recently?
Yes.
Like twice a week maybe?
See, what I tell you?
God, I go six times a week and he looks so much better than me.
It's not fair.
I mean,
it's just not fair.
See, you're
right. I'm in your camp now, Henry.
That's right.
I'm in your camp. I mean, I work out 2 hours a day, 6 days a week.
What it really is, I mean, you've heard of you're an engineer. You've heard of Einstein's theory of relativity.
Yeah.
And
mass
energy, neither can actually be destroyed. He converts it to energy, and it transmits over to us as
mass.
Energy and becomes mass. So that's why it isn't fair.
Yeah. Now, how far can you jog on a treadmill?
I can do like 5 miles.
All right, last time he comes in on the show.
That's running too.
So the next time that he wants to come on the show, he gets on the treadmill. 5 miles would just be about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be on that cell phone. Yeah. Yeah, tell us about it, Josh.
I told my daughter.
Tell us about the 1031 de minimis rules.
I texted my daughter 2 weeks ago. I said, sweetie, I did 2 miles at 5 miles an hour on the treadmill. And she laughed at me. I was like, well, I thought it was pretty damn good. In one run. That's not without pausing, no water breaks.
5 miles an hour.
Hey, but like you said, you keep at it, you're just going to get more miles at it.
Fast walk is 3 miles an hour, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
How's the knees doing?
They're doing all right. They're doing all right.
Okay. All right. Well, we've certainly covered some important Bitcoin news
today.
Last one that we didn't really get much into. Chicago Mercantile Exchange wants to increase the limit, and they're asking the Commodities Futures and Trading Commission if they can, of their Bitcoin futures from 1,000 contracts to 2,000 contracts. And since those are 5 Bitcoins per contract, you're talking 10,000 Bitcoins, which, you know, at the $10,000 times 10,000.
10 million.
If you say so, that's a lot of money. So, more people want to do that, and I guess they're doing it on margin. See, that's,
that has to be. Yeah. That's
right, not remember to reach out to Josh Sands, CryptoTaxMan, CryptoTaxMan.us. Do you want to give your phone number out or just have him go to the website?
Yeah, you can give my phone number. Do you have my phone number?
Well, I do, but I have to look at it. Is it the one with 219 area code?
Yep, 219-201-0541.
If you're here, 219-201-0541. 219-201-0541. 219-201-0541.
Well, where's the original 219 area code?
201-0541. Well, we're going to have to save that because we got to get out of here.
Indiana.
And Josh, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next month.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Skinny guy. Anyway.
You know, those young guys are so skinny. They, you know, I feel your pain, Henry.
Thank you. I love to be
And by the way, I have not lost one pound.